You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We are the football dudes. And Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend. Ooh,
all right,
yeah.
Still bringing it post-Super Bowl. He's still got that energy, baby. Our next stop is the Trend Zone. And in today's episode, we will talk a little bit about Super Bowl 55, a little bit of the monies that went back and forth.
Woo.
Couple NFL honors there. And, Dave, it's never too early to look at the odds for the big winner of Super Bowl 56 that will be in our backyard at the SoFi Stadium. Right around the corner, my friend. But before we go back to the future, Dave, you got a tasty nug for the people?
Yes, I do, Casey. In fact, it is regarding the audience watching the Super Bowl. I thought this audience would be huge with everybody staying at home and watching it at their houses. But, Casey, the viewership was down. It was just 96.4 million viewers for CBS on Sunday. And
that's almost how many listeners we have.
Exactly. It's definitely good competition there in that game won by the Bucks over the Chiefs. But that is actually the lowest watched Super Bowl, Casey, since 2007 when it was Colts Bears. A kind of a shocking turn of event after the season that we just had, which was so electric, you know?
Yeah, and CBS tried to break out their app to let people stream, and it did do pretty good, almost 6 million views, but the word back that it was glitchy at several points, so maybe that turned some of the viewers off. And then, of course, when it got to be Blowout City, I think a lot of people probably split then as well.
Yeah, probably tapered off towards the end, and that gets all averaged in there. So that certainly is one of the ways we can justify it, I suppose. And again, more and more cord cutters, so maybe there's more people out there streaming than they were able to count.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look back, dude. You mentioned the Chiefs got blowed out by the Tampa Bay Bucks, 31-9. And Dave, I think we have to start looking at this Super Bowl, not a crappy game, but just different than what our expectations were going into this thing.
Yeah, and I think that's why you think of it as a blowout or a crappy game a little bit. When it really was a pretty competitive game, it just didn't meet our expectations. And I think that that's where we were maybe disappointed overall. We thought that this was a battle between two of the hottest teams offensively in a season where more scoring had taken place than ever in NFL history. And we found that one team couldn't get into the end zone. So of all things, that was absolutely mind-blowing that the Chiefs were stagnant on offense like they were and unable to put up points. But it was an impressive performance for sure that put them in that position.
Yeah, dude, and going back and watching these things a couple more times since it's passed, got to show more love for that Bucks defense because they were out of control in this thing, and the performance they put on is one for the ages. Even though the Super Bowl won't be remembered like that, mm-hmm. The performance by that defense was lights out.
Yeah, and they don't get the props, you know, for like the other Buccaneer defense that won the Super Bowl, or the Ravens defense that won the Super Bowl, or the Bears defense. But this was a damn good performance against a very, very good Chiefs offense. And, you know, ultimately, Casey, it's about blocking and tackling and getting after the quarterback, you know, basics of football. And I thought that the Bucks won on both sides of the football, on the line of scrimmage. On their offensive side, the Bucks were able to protect Brady for the most part that game, and they were able to establish a run and maintain a balance. And really, this game was won on the other side of the field, where it was the Bucks defensive front that really got after the injured offensive line from the Colts that just wasn't able to protect Brady. They weren't able to do what they normally do because a four-man rush was putting pressure on Brady that was unseen, on Mahomes, right? That was unseen all year long. And they were able to do it un-Todd Bowles-like because normally the guy blitzes more than anybody. He blitzed less than 10% of the time in this game. They got after him with four guys. It was amazing.
Yeah, one of the things that shocked me is Andy Reid said he didn't see this coming at all, and the whole team didn't. They thought that they could roll out there and do what they did in Week 12, and that's never the case, dude. And leading up to this game, we talked about, I can't wait to see what the Chiefs break out new for this game. We expected to see a lot out of them, and it wasn't that. And that they couldn't anticipate that rush coming shocked me, and that they didn't get the backs more involved in this thing, not only in the run game. Clyde Helaire had, you know, 9 for 64, but I expected them to hit those guys in the flats and really use the running backs in the passing game. They didn't do that, and Kansas City so good in the red zone, 0 for 3 in this game, while the Bucks went 3 for 5, and the Chiefs, dude, 3 for 13 on third down. Man, that Bucks defense was getting off the field, man. Impressive.
Yeah, and the way they tracked the Mahomes all over the field, there was a report that he ran nearly 500 yards before either throwing the football or getting sacked, and Brady ran like 30 yards, you know, in order to try and escape, you know, throughout the whole game. Just a little sidestep over there, a little sidestep back.
Yeah.
So it was no comparison there, dude. But, you know, there was also a huge disparity in the penalties that were called in this game. And I know that Chiefs fans would be kind of pissed if we didn't at least visit that as certainly a mitigating circumstance for the way that this game ended up turning out. You know, an early penalty here, an early penalty there really changes the complexion of the game moving forward. And there's no doubt they got the raw end of the stick in terms of the Zebras.
Yeah, totally. 95 penalty yards the first half. That was the most in Super Bowl history. And if it were just that, the Chiefs would have more of an argument there. I think it was a huge part, but they weren't prepared, had a bad game plan, weren't playing the best, had a ton of drops, dude.
Ton of drops.
You know, they just weren't ready for this thing, which is shocking to see an Andy Reid team like that. But you take it back to the second quarter, Dave, right before halftime. The Bucks had the ball. They had a 3rd and 2 with 44 seconds left on their side of the field. Chiefs decided to call timeout there, thought it was a bad play, and it turned out to be because the Bucks picked up the first and then over the top got the huge pass interference to Mike Evans.
Yep.
Sketchy call there. But now the Bucks made them pay, got that touchdown. Now you're looking at 21-6 at half instead of 14-6. They could have let that thing just run down, and they got the ball first in the third quarter. But, you know, just a mistake, and we had seen that previously, pretty much the same kind of deal in the NFC Championship.
Yep.
It just seemed like the Chiefs weren't ready for this thing, dude.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Casey. Calling that timeout was an aggressive move. It was a calculated risk for the Chiefs, and it definitely backfired. But they got to know they're going against a coach on the other side, and Bruce Arians, his motto is no risk it, no biscuit. So, of course, you stop the clock for them. They get the first down. Now they're going for it, man. And that really, really did. It was like a punch in the gut for the Chiefs going in at halftime to suddenly be down by one more touchdown than they were. I mean, my gosh, that definitely changed, I think, the, you know, and you're sitting in that halftime locker for 30 minutes thinking to yourself, man, look at that score is pretty, you know, shocking. You know?
Dave's out there rocking to the weekend, and the Chiefs are in there wondering what the hell happened.
What the hell happened, right?
You know, and Dave, if you look back, I said, you know what? Tom Brady's going to have about 200 yards, and Evans and Godwin will be combined 3 catches for 40 yards. You would think the Bucks would have lost.
Yeah, blowed out.
The Brady factor here is Gronk, AB, Fournette. These are all Brady's guys that he brought to the team, and they did all the scoring except for the field goals. So they all talked about it. Brady showed them how to win. And when you bring in all those guys, you get your, you know, your 7th Super Bowl, man. Craziness.
No question about it, dude. Brady did bring a lot of guys in there. They sort of pushed all the chips to the center as an organization. Said, this is, we got Brady for a limited, you know, stay. We're going to put the best possible team out there. Most of these guys were already there, like the bulk of the team, the defense, all that stuff. But adding these key pieces was enormous.
Definitely, dude. All right, well, Brady did get the Super Bowl MVP, didn't get the regular season MVP. I was actually watching on Monday night after I rewatched the Super Bowl again, and the honor show was here in L.A. I'm like, hey, that's Green Day playing at SoFi Stadium. What the hell is going on here? And apparently the awards show was Saturday night, and we missed out on that. But, you know, a handful of the biggest stars in the NFL got to take home a virtual trophy.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to Aaron Rodgers and the MVP. I'm sure he's not overly thrilled about it the way his season ended, but that's something that's going to be, you know, something that'll be with him forever, man.
Definitely. And Derrick Henry, the Offensive Player of the Year, and Aaron Donald, the Defensive Player of the Year, both had outstanding seasons.
And Rookies of the Year on offense, it was Justin Herbert of the Chargers, very deserving, set multiple records as a quarterback, and he's got people thinking, hey, maybe I will watch the Chargers next year. And then Chase Young for the Skins, man, excuse me, for the FTs. Just really exceptional, two exceptional rookies that had excellent years and hopefully look to be the first of many.
Yeah, Justin Herbert's got to know he's got plenty of cash now, doesn't need to go to Supercuts, plenty of places to get your hair did in L.A. Find a good spot, go there, brother, because it's not working for me, dude.
But the guy, it was the Flowbee or something, whatever,
yeah,
what's that thing called?
It was terrible, dude. He's got to spend some cash, dude. You're a star in Los Angeles. You got to look the part now. But you got to give it up to Kevin Stefanski. He was the coach of the year. And of all the awards, we knew this was going, but Alex Smith, the comeback player of the year, can't say enough about this guy, bro.
No question about it, dude. It was an absolutely amazing, heartwarming triumph that he almost lost his life, almost lost his leg, and was able to just leave it, even practice on a football field, then to sort of take over that starting role and really lead that team to be, you know, have a decent season. If he was able to play the whole year, man, he played pretty well, man. Just an awesome, awesome story for Smith. I hope he comes here. He's the best quarterback they got on the roster.
Yeah, I don't know that he needs to. Maybe
right.
Just getting back, because I would hate to see something happen to him. And
yeah.
If you watch that 30 for 30 or whatever the hell, thing is gnarly. It is
gruesome. Still
gnarly looking. So if he walks away, all good. But you're right. He is still the best quarterback on that squad. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yep, no question.
All right, Dave, there's not going to be a parade in the streets, and I don't know if Captain Steubing or Gopher or Isaac are going to be there, but there is going to be a big-ass party in Tampa Bay.
That's right. You're going to party with social distancing in mind, Casey, as you are in a nearby boat. It will be a boat parade on the Hillsborough River on Wednesday. Tampa Bay Lightning had a boat parade last year to celebrate their Stanley Cup, and what they're going to do is just have everybody come out, you know, and you basically are going with your own party, basically, on your boat to go out there and cheer from a distance. So, pretty good idea. Obviously, you know, they've got the boat with the cannons and all that. So, it's kind of, you know, in with their logo and stuff. But it's a nice way to get the parade in without making it a super spreader event.
Yeah, dude. And a little bit more on the Super Bowl, bro. Lots of money got paid out on this thing. There was a ton of betting that went around, over what, $140 million, basically.
Wow.
Down a little bit just because Vegas didn't have the casinos, but
right,
a lot of cats got their bread because of this huge upset.
Yeah, man. Awesome, awesome deal. And my congratulations go out to Mattress Mac. The dude who owns the mattress store put a $3.46 million bet on the Buccaneers. He got his win. And congratulations to all of his customers that took him up on the hedge bet that he had, which was the offer that anybody that spent $3,000 at his mattress store, furniture store place, if the Bucs won, they would get their all of their stuff for free. So either he was going to sell a crap load of stuff and lose the bet, or he was going to win the bet and use a bunch of that money to pay off his customers so they would win their bet too. Pretty neat.
Yeah, dude, I feel like a chump for going to Sit and Sleep now, where my mattress was free. And Dave, $1 million bets out there, five more in Vegas. And of course, I don't know if you heard the story on the streaker. He actually put down a bunch of cash on that there would be a streak. I think it was like 750 to 1 or something. But he put down a bunch of cash, and he ended up getting paid because of that. So congratulations, I guess.
Diabolical.
Yeah. I wish you would have let me know a little bit. I would have kicked down some cash on that had I known. But
yeah. And Nance made some Romo money, I hear, by betting on the purple tie that he wore.
Purple tie, dude. Who'd have thought? And the weekend coming out with the sunglasses. all easy money bets in hindsight, of course. All right, Dave, you know the best thing about the Super Bowl being over is that we're all undefeated and back in it, and the odds are out already for next year, and a couple familiar teams up there as favorites.
Yeah, the Chiefs top of the list there as the favorites to win the Super Bowl, Casey. But the top 10 go as follows. Chiefs, Packers, Bucks, Bills, Ravens, Rams, 49ers, Saints, Browns, and then Seahawks to round out the top 10. So, but if you're not on that list, folks, you still got a chance.
That's right, because every year a handful of teams that don't make the playoffs do. And my Cowboys, your Chargers, and the Steelers are all tied at the 14th most likely to win the Super Bowl.
I like those odds.
Yeah, Dave, that's getting me hyped.
I'm pretty hyped up, Casey. But there's some reason to be a little less hyped if you're a Cowboy right now.
Yeah, dude, if you spent 32 seconds watching the 2021 Dallas Cowboy hype video, you would notice that a Mr. Dak Prescott was not in the hype video.
What?
Which seems like a tremendous, you know, they would say, oh, it was just, you know, it wasn't anything intentional, just, you know,
and
a
misstep. That cannot be an oversight, Casey. Is that a negotiation ploy? What are we talking about here? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think, you know, nobody watched it. It's like, oh, that's a great video, but I didn't see Dak in there of all the screeners that people went to. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher there. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends what you hear back and forth with the contract. They have until March 9th to sort it out, and then it'll be the franchise tag if not. But what brought me a little back down to earth was no Leighton Van Der Esch in that video either. So maybe it was an oversight, but come on. Come on, man.
I mean, woo, that's a Cowboy hype video. That could be a little bit of a Cowboy panic video, right? I mean, woof. Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's your quarterback?
I know it is. I know it is, Dave. All right, Dave, a little bit of a somberness as the season comes to an end. One of the pillars of the NFL, you know, coaching legends, went ahead and passed away recently.
Yeah, that's Marty Schottenheimer, Casey, and he was a very well-respected coach. A lot of guys that coached under him are currently coaches in the league. He did influence a lot of other coaches, and when he was with the Chiefs, every year they were good. Every year they're heading to the playoffs or almost in the playoffs. It was always a very strong group, physical group. I hated him back then. Then he became a commentator. I fell in love with him. And then he became ultimately the Chargers head coach, my team. And I really, really enjoyed the time. We had a great football team under him. Unfortunately, for both Schottenheimer and the Chargers, never did get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that 14-2 team with Marlon McCree dropping the Tom Brady intercept or fumbling the Tom Brady interception.
Yeah.
And that was a cause some of the biggest games, just like some brutal fumbles, the Cleveland games against the Broncos.
Oh, devastating.
Obviously that one. So
led to the drive, right? Yeah, Casey, the old thing, when I think of Schottenheimer, you watch one of those old coaching shows on him. There's a gleam, man! There's a gleam!
That's right.
All these things that he would say that were hit like Marty Schottenheimer sayings, man. And, boy, he could motivate. That's for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, our condolences go out to the Schottenheimer family and a little RIP to one of the best coaches ever to do it in the NFL.
Class act.
All right, Dave, the last week of survival, we went all the way to the Super Bowl. How did you do, my friend?
Casey, I had one team available to pick. It was the Buccaneers by design, as I knew I had to protect my single strike left. And I had the Bucs. They won. I was a survivor! And I take home the money, along with two other people.
Congratulations, my friend. Well, I had the team on the other side of that, the Kansas City Chiefs, also by design. And I wasn't quite so lucky, but Dave, I don't know if I mentioned it. I did take home the Ultimate Fantasy Championship this year. I don't think I mentioned it. I just, you know, bring it up at least once before we're out of here.
Right. That was well played. A good season, Casey. You did fine work there. And, yeah, me, Boris, and Ano were able to all make it to the end of the season there. Wish other people would have died, so it would have been just me. But I'll take the three-way split. So congratulations to you and to me, Harun.
Yeah, congrats, man. That is, no small order making it to the end of that with such a wacky season, especially when you can't lean on whoever's playing the Jets in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got my first strike in week one, so thank God for the three strikes.
Well done, sir. Well done. All right, man. I think that's going to put a cap to the 2020 NFL season. It's been such a crazy season, but we got in all the games. We got in the Super Bowl. And like I said, now we're all back in it undefeated. But that doesn't mean the football dude stopped, because the season technically doesn't ever end. And we're going to be here, dude. We got the virtual combine coming up. However they're going to do it, it's really just pro days. But we got free agent action coming up. That's going to be super hot. You don't want to miss that, and you don't have to, because subscribe to the Trend Zone. That's what you're listening to right now. It is available for subscription for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, or wherever the hell you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and Casey, don't forget, the draft is right around the corner too, and the hype leading up to that draft is going to be awesome this year. We know number one's pretty much locked in. Casey, everybody out there is going to want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and also follow us at FootballDudesLA on Twitter.
Yeah, or if you'd like to kick it old school, just go to FootballDudes.com. Dave, that's going to do it for this episode of the Trend Zone in the 2020 season, bro.
Wow.
That's the way.
It's been good, Casey. Thanks, man.
Great. Hey, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us all season long. Like I said, we got a ton of content coming throughout the off season. Make sure you hang out with us. That is going to do it for Dave. I'm Casey. We are out of here.